But if you open your Bibles, Matthew chapter 6, we'll get there in a little bit. We're going to continue. You know, I went this week and it's really praying I want to start speaking on, because we did the theme for the year and all I could get is to continue on the theme of prayer. Really, it's been a long time since we really talked about prayer, and we're going to go for a few weeks breaking down prayer. And I don't plan on being a whole long time today because I made a really big sermon. Decided we're going to split that down probably, unless you guys listen really fast. So, you know, we've been looking at the challenge with 2023 FBC theme being intimate prayer. And I hope you've already started praying for each other, for one another. I mean serious prayer, not a checklist, but an intimate prayer where they don't even know you're praying for them yet. You're just lifting them up. You're just loving them, and you're finding ways to serve them and encourage them. But you're doing so from a faithful heart. A life that lives for the Lord. And you're demonstrating submission to God as you love God's people. So prayer is often spoken of, but seldomly seriously practiced. Seldom is it a serious practice. How often do you and I stop and get rid of all distractions? Humble ourselves before a holy God and give Him our undivided attention to be intimate, to be reverent. I mean undivided. I don't mean pray as long as the phone don't ring or pray while I'm watching a soap opera or the football game. I'll put it in my perspective. But I mean an intimate time that's just me and God. And not in a hurry to say, God, I did my deed this week. I prayed. But one that says, man, I couldn't wait to walk with you again. I couldn't wait to kneel before you again. As we pray at all times. But sometimes we have to have that time that we just shut everything down. And we intimately bow before our Master. See, prayer is a vital part of a believer's life. You notice no man in Scripture was ever used by God in great ways without a time of prayer. Prayer is vital to the believer. You want God to use you? You want God to work through you? Pray intimately, humbly. If you look at Genesis chapter 20, verse 17, Abraham prayed after lying about who his wife was to a king. He prayed. In Numbers 11, verse 2, Moses prayed unto the Lord while he was trying to lead a bunch of complainers to the wilderness. And he had to pray many times because of that group of complainers. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, Hannah prayed. She was grieved. She wanted to provide a male baby to her husband. The cool thing is in 1 Samuel chapter 3, we see her son Samuel pray. And what was his prayer? He says, God, I'm listening. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17, Elisha prayed, allowing his servant to see God's armies all around him. In 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 15, Hezekiah prayed for salvation from his problems. All over Psalms, King David prays in giving praise and a thankful heart. He also was on his face humbly praying because of his sick baby that was dying. Prayer's all over, isn't it? You've heard all these names, godly men. How about in Ezra chapter 10? Ezra had prayed, confessing the sins of a nation. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, Daniel prayed, resulting in him being thrown into a den of lions. In Jonah chapter 2, verse 1, Jonah prayed out of the belly of a fish. In Acts chapter 16, verse 25, Paul and Silas prayed from prison as they sang praises. Luke chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus prayed. And we see that over and over and over and over. In other words, you can pray about anything, anywhere, at any time. Isn't it awesome to have that access to the throne of God? This is a condensed list because we can go on and on and on about men in the Bible that prayed. But we can see that those people who God used in great ways prayed. They accessed the power of God. They recognized their dependence upon God. They approached God intimately. And we must always remember that we have the privilege to pray. You ever counted praying as a privilege? If you see it as a job, you're going to do it when you have to. If you see it as a privilege, you're going to want to do it over and over. Yeah? You should have an attitude of taking advantage of that privilege God has given to you. But that's if you've placed faith in Jesus Christ. If so, we have direct access to the throne of God, as John 14:13 says, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name," that's Jesus speaking, "that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Whatever you ask in my name. See, when our prayer honors God, He's honored and He hears us. And this is quite the privilege to be able to pray to our God. But not only do we have the privilege of prayer, we have the command to pray. You with me? We are commanded to pray. Commanded to pray. The one we like most, because it's a very short verse. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. You know that ceasing is important because when you start to cease, it's when you start getting in trouble. You stop forgetting who's on the throne and you start placing yourself there. See, as ambassadors and representatives of Christ, we should constantly be seeking His direction, His power, His guidance. And if you'll remember, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But what that's speaking of, we can do everything in His will, not everything we want. You with me? Big difference. And so when God, Jesus Christ says, when you pray in my name, I'll do it. Isn't that a privilege? And that's why He gives us that command. So in Matthew chapter 6, we see Jesus teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. Because literally, He was on the side of a mountain. That's why they gave it that cool little name. They were original. Came up with something really hip. Sermon on the Mount. Such a powerful sermon. So much. If you remember back when walking through the life of Christ, we stayed in those couple chapters, about three chapters, for a long time. Because there's so much there. But I want to look at a part here that is very important to our prayer life. Because in Luke chapter 11, where He also gives us the sample prayer that Jesus gives. Remember, that's a sample prayer. We're getting into that a little more. He had an apostle that had been watching Jesus pray. He had been walking for as much as 3 years with Jesus and watched Jesus pray on a regular basis, saw that it was important to Jesus, and he too wanted this privilege. So he asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." Not teach us a prayer. Jesus never taught a prayer. He did teach an all-inclusive sample prayer. And He also taught us what prayer is all about. And so I want us to break it down a little bit here. In Matthew chapter 6, go down to verse 5. Listen carefully. We won't cover all of it probably today. But in Matthew chapter 6, after telling His people that when you do good deeds or do alms, do them secretly just for the Lord so He can bless, He goes into prayer in chapter 6, verse 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Let's open in prayer. Father, we come to you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for allowing us access to the throne, to your mercy seat, Lord, that we can bring our requests, we can bring our concerns, we can bring our desires, we can bring our worship. And Lord, we can bring intimacy and truly walk with you. And Lord, I ask that you would challenge us through your word, that your spirit would touch our hearts, that this year our prayer life would grow like never before, that we would have sincere, honest intimacy with you. Lord, I ask that you have your way in this sermon, that you would give us the words that we need to hear. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, in this portion of text here, in this speaking of prayer, notice that Jesus does not take lightly this topic of prayer. Nowhere in Scripture is prayer just a flippant, yeah, let's have a quick prayer. That's a term I've got to guard myself from using. It's very easy to use. Hey, let's pray real quickly. No. No. I want intimacy with God. God wants intimacy with me. I got to be careful that prayer does not become an entertainment for one. It's not a side note. Well, yeah, by the way, we got a formality. Got to pray. I got to make sure that prayer remains my intimacy with God. And so the first point we see here is prayer is a priority. You with me? Prayer is a priority. In verses 5, 6, and 7, you notice there he starts out by saying, when you pray. You can look, check me. He starts out all the verses, when you pray. When you pray. Not, hey, if you pray, if you get a chance to pray, if you find time, when you schedule it into your schedule. He doesn't say, hey, when you grow enough to pray, because you ain't going to grow without prayer. He's not begging you, hey, please say a prayer. But here there is an assumption that as a believer, as a child of God, as a servant of the Most High, you with me? You're going to pray. Do you see the assumption here? When you pray. We should love to have this awesome privilege of prayer. We should use this awesome privilege. We should want to approach God, our Creator, the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. You with me? Quiet out there. Is it too hot? Somebody said amen. It's as hot as I got it. I'm trying here. No, we should want this intimacy with God, shouldn't we? We should want intimacy with the one that laid his life down for us. He had no sins. He didn't deserve death. He did not deserve the persecution he went through. He didn't deserve to be whipped with the whips. He didn't deserve to have nails go through his hands. He didn't deserve that the Father would turn his back on him and cast judgment and wrath upon that cross. He didn't deserve to be separated from glory and holiness for 3 nights. But he loved you enough that he said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Don't you want intimacy with him? Not a formality of, oh, I went to church on Sunday. Oh, Don't play that game. We should want intimacy with Him. We need His power. We need His guidance. We need His comforting. That's why we need prayer so badly. Now understand, we need prayer in combination with God's Word. And I'll say it again, I'll say it 1,000 times. It's a two-way conversation. He speaks to us through His Word, and we speak to Him through prayer. And there's a two-way dialogue. And there's an intimacy that is made through conversation. Hebrews 4:16, listen to this verse. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. And let us come, what's that word? Some of y'all are shy. Let us come boldly. Boldly. Now, we don't need to approach God shy and scared. But to come boldly does not mean to come proud and arrogant. We need to come reverent before the throne, remembering who He is. But boldly means, listen, know who you are. If you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you're His child. You're the Son of God. He's adopted you by the blood of Jesus into His family, and He wants intimacy with you. He wants you to pray so you can come boldly to Him. Like a dad that has a good relationship with his son, he can come boldly to his dad. There's no shyness about, can I approach? Because remember, in those days, they understood the kings. You could not just approach a king, you'd be killed. You had this whole sacred thing that you had to go through. You had to get permission to approach, and then approach slowly, and he had to allow you to approach up to a certain level. Not God. God, when he adopts his children, he takes those rules off and says, I want you intimately next to me, coming to me, conversing with me. You with me? It's quiet, quiet. I get worried of silence. Can I get a yee-haw? Whoop, whoop, good. There we go. We'll take it. I was waiting. See, we have already seen that godly men and women of Scripture prayed, right? And even Jesus himself, the only begotten of the Father, the second part of the Trinity, he prayed. You ever stop and thought about when Jesus prayed? I'm going to miss some, but he prayed when temptation approached him. Now, he was never tempted per se, but temptation came to him. Satan came to him as he does us. What did Jesus do? He prayed. He prayed. What did Jesus do at mealtime when he broke bread? He prayed. You with me? Is it okay to pray at mealtime? Yeah, thank God for your grub. Jesus prayed over his meal. That's just not the only time you should be praying. The only time you pray for with your kids is at mealtime. You ain't praying. You're doing a chant. It's not intimate. It's just saying some magic words over the food. Teach them intimacy, that prayer more often. Jesus prayed when he was preparing for attacks. When he knew he was going to get arrested and taken to the cross, what did he do? He prayed. He preparing to preach and teach. He prayed during trials. He prayed. What trials? You remember what he did on the cross? He prayed. Many different times. Why hast thou forsaken me? He's conversing with the Father. It is finished. Accept my spirit. He's speaking to God. It's a conversation. Often just because we needed intimacy with the Father is why he prayed. That should be you and I at all times. Sometimes there's nothing to pray about. Oh, yeah, there is. You just need to talk to him. You just need to talk to the Father. You and I are exhorted to pray. We're challenged to pray. We're ordered to pray. We're to make prayer a priority. As Apostle Paul told a young pastor in 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications and prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. First of all, Don't wait to fall into trouble to start praying. Pray before you fall in trouble. Problems are going to arise. You must be strong before the problem gets here, amen? Instead of being desperate afterwards. Maybe you start praying before the trouble, and God will make you wise enough not to fall in trouble. Too often our prayer is, God, bail me out of my mess that I did without you. And sometimes, you know what God's answer is going to be? I think you need to put up with this for a while because you need to grow. Not the answer we want, but the answer we need, amen? Yeah, some didn't want to amen that one. That's tough. We don't like that. But prayer. Prayer should be our first resort. And we should be in prayer regularly. It needs to be our first reaction to everything, to every thought. And the first thing is prayer is a priority. But the second thing is that we see here is pray sincerely. We often say God judges the heart. Man, nobody wanted to risk it, did you? It was a tricky one. You ever said that God judges the heart? Does he? Sure does. He does it in God's word. You thought it was a trick question, didn't you? We're just being Baptist and being quiet today. We ain't going to continue until everybody says something. There we go. I want to count that. And you see, God judges the heart, and it's true. And we see this often in Scripture, and directly says it in Scripture. And God acts according to the sincerity of the heart. That's why it goes with the heart. He knows your heart. And he knows your mouth a lot of times don't match the heart. And then sometimes your mouth can't utter what the heart feels. You ever been there? I don't even know how to say it, God. And he's like, I already got spirit in you. Don't worry. I know. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're going through. I know you're hurt. I know your pain. So what I'm trying to say here is in sincere prayer is don't lie to God. He already knows. We do this to our kids. Yeah, maybe you don't. You ever time with your kid that you know what the problem is? But you make them tell you before you're going to help them. Share with you, when I was in college, yeah, Bible college, I got in a whole lot of trouble. My first year, I was dumb and ignorant. Don't hold it against me. I got in some really bad trouble. And the people that have signed your papers to go to this Bible college would be your pastor, your youth pastor. So who do I need to go sit down and talk to? The man I most look up to in my life. His name is Ron Hollett. He got a hold of me yesterday during the game. He's a diehard Cowboys fan, so he does have faults. But after I got in all that trouble in college, my head all tucked, and I go sit in his office, and Ron, I need to talk to you. Oh, really? Everything good? What's going on? Man, I spilled my guts. I told him all the trouble I got into, what the consequences are. And he, you know, he just let me tell him everything. I finally make eye contact. He's grinning. He says, I know. The dean of the school had already contacted him. But sometimes getting our heart right means we have to verbally admit what we've done. And he put me through it. At that moment, I wanted to slap him, but he's a fourth degree black belt in karate. And I didn't want to bounce all over his office. But you know what he did? He said, let me speak it. If I had lied, he'd have known. The dean already talked to him. You know, we shouldn't lie to God. He knows already. But we need to confess our faults even to him. He knows them. But he wants us to humble ourselves. Well, look at verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You know, don't be a hypocrite, he says. Now, the word hypocrite didn't used to be offensive. It meant actor. You know the plays where they hold the little mask in front of their face and, you know, do their part, and they may go to the side and change the mask and send it their different persona. That was a hypocrite. That was the acting portion. Now we use it as an offensive term, as being a fake person. And he's saying here, don't be an actor. Don't be a pretender. When you pray, don't make a show of it. Don't think everybody needs to see what you're doing and hear your verbiage. Don't just pray when you're seen of others or when you're going to get seen. If the only time you pray is at church, let's be honest, you're not praying. You're mumbling, you're advertising yourself, you're performing for an audience. Prayer is not about a performance. It's about intimacy. I have told you before, I love it when I ask somebody, can I call on you to pray? And they say, I don't know how. Perfect. Just talk to God. You don't need those big old fancy words that you never use Monday through Saturday. You just need to humble your heart to know with reverence that you are talking to God. That's what he wants. You see, prayer also is not about taking a stand. Prayer is not, you know, you used to do a see you at the poll at the schools, and that's not a bad thing. Seeing a poll can be a good thing. But I believe it was misused because the purpose of us standing around a poll and praying together was not unity, it was not intimacy. The advertising is we are taking a stand for Christ. Prayer is never used or told in Scripture. It's about taking a stand. Prayer is about intimacy with God. And so we got to guard that we're not using prayer as trying to look spiritual or get attention. Because prayer is about intimacy with the sovereign one. And Jesus says that those that use it to be seen, you with me? Used it to look good and spiritual. At the very end of verse 5, they have their reward. Why? Because they're seeing him in. Somebody said, wow, he's a good prayer. Is prayer even a word? I'm not an English buff. Wow, he really touches my heart. Does he touch the heart of God? You know, they really get the oohs and ahs of the people. They get that fancy name known as spiritual person. The problem is that that's their reward. It ends there. If that's their purpose in praying, if that's the only prayer they do, they've got their reward already. That's the pat on the back. Now, the truth is, we don't want that reward, do we? In your prayer, do you want somebody, your whole reward to be like, that was beautiful? No. Who do you want a reward from? You can say it. It's okay to want a reward from God. Amen? It's okay. See, we want the reward from the Father. We want Him to hear our prayers. We want His answer. We want His blessing on our sincere, humble, and faithful prayers. We want His desire for our life. So how do we do this? We pray intimately. We pray sincerely. And we're going to continue from here next week. But my challenge that has opened is in the seriousness that Jesus Christ places on prayer. In the seriousness that we see in Scripture that prayer is used. In understanding that in prayer, we walk to the throne of God. That we see that in prayer, we access the power of God. We see that in prayer, we ask for the help of the Almighty. We should really want to take advantage of prayer, shouldn't we? It shouldn't matter what someone in here thinks about your prayer. It shouldn't even matter what someone out there thinks about your prayer. But that your prayer comes to the throne of God with the name of Jesus. And it's sincere. You know what? Sometimes our prayer needs to be, God, I don't feel like praying. Give me this desire. Sometimes I don't feel like it. Yeah? Anybody else? Yeah, some of us are very unspiritual. We admitted that. Confessing my faults. There's times in my life I don't want to read my Bible. And I got to say, God, help me. And he does. He answers our prayers, doesn't he? God, I don't want to go to church today. It's cold outside. And then it's hot inside. He can't win. Now, I didn't say that this morning. Man, I can't tell. I was so looking forward to service today. I am serious, and I believe anybody that's not here is missing out. Now, some needed to stay home. We don't need some in danger on the roads. Some are out of town. I'm glad who is here is here. I'm glad we have teens over here that were excited to go outside and help people walk in from their cars. Thank you. I appreciate that. And hopefully you don't mind helping some back out to their cars. We want them out of here, too. I mean... Thank you. I really sincerely mean that. Thank you, guys. And they were bragging on y'all earlier. I had some of them tell me how much that meant that you came up to their car before they could even get out. Thank you. It's good to be in God's house. You know what I love doing together? Is praying together. When we have men gatherings, whether we call it real men, but we have breakfast and pray together, those are awesome. Third Sunday of the month, the men gather in this room. And we pray as a group of men. Man, I love that. Every Sunday morning, I'm praying with some group of men here. It's usually deacons in my office. Man, I need that before I preach. I do. So I can get my focus on God's word. Let me ask you, how excited are you to pray? You take prayer seriously? Not a formality. Not a quick, well, we're going to see next week what someone else has written for you to pray, but your heart spilled out to God. That is so vital to your walk with Jesus Christ. And we're going to have an invitation here in just a minute. And you're going to be called out to pray. Some to humble yourselves right here. In other words, forget that anyone's looking. Because you're playing for the audience of one. You're bound before God himself. Some are going to pray where you're at. But some of you might be convicted to grab someone by the neck and say, I need to pray with you. We do that. We do it. We've seen already, and we're not even touched the rest of the verses. Jesus takes prayer serious. Would you stand with me? I believe we have some in this church that pray nonstop, humble themselves before the Lord, and don't need details. They're just going to lift up any request that's put out there, and they're going to pray for you. I ask you, are you one of them? I was told a few years back that our prayer warriors, as we used to call them, are dying off. That was the older ones that really took prayer serious and spent hours a day praying. Will you take prayer that serious? Will you humble yourself before the Lord? You listen to him in his word. Then you bow your head and pour your heart out to him. Pray about it all. Kid played basketball yesterday. Pray and thank God for the people you got to be a part of their lives. For the health. The car you got to drive. Pray for the church that you get to come and be a part of. The decisions, the men that meet in that room to make decisions and lead. Pray for your part and where your ministry is, how you're building others for Christ. Pray for who you're supposed to be reaching with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray. Pray and pray. And let's watch how God, we just studied in Acts 11 this morning, a group that was preaching Jesus, and God put his hand upon them and blessed them. And their church grew and grew and grew. You know what? When we submit to God with sincerity and humility, the hand of God comes upon us and blesses in a way we can't explain. We've seen some of that already, haven't we? Let's see what God does in 2023. Father, we come to you. Thank you for being right here with us. Thank you for loving us the way you do. Thank you for your blood allowing us to approach our Father in heaven, to come before the mercy seat, to celebrate, to worship, to give our requests. Now, Lord, if there's someone in this room that's never made that first call to accept you as Savior, this can be the day of salvation. If there's someone in here that's never taken prayer real serious, that this would be a day of transformation and understanding that you want prayer and they need prayer. For those in this room that are already warriors coming to your throne daily and regularly, we thank you for them and continue to bless them in your own way. But Lord, in this time of invitation, I ask that you get a hold of our hearts, that we would humble ourselves before you and start right now in a seriousness of prayer. Lord, I ask that you have your way in this invitation. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Heads bowed, and eyes closed. Piano's going to play. Will you get out of your seat and come forward for a humble time of prayer? Pray for the changes that are happening in our church right now. Pray for your heart, for your family. You step out. We're going to have a few minutes. We'll take as long as we need. Number is that 606. Would you grab your hymnal and open up to 606? Sing this loudly as we praise our God.